Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your one-stop shop for raising kids in this tech-heavy world. We bring on professionals and experts to give you all the tools you need to help your kids become fire-breathing warriors that have the strength to break out of the mold society has put them in. At the end of the day, we're all here for one reason: to help save some kids. I'm your host, Nate Webb. Let's get to it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Save the Kids podcast. It's your host, Nate Webb, live in Studio Salt Lake City area, and we got a show for you today. You know, here at Save the Kids, we believe that delay is the way, but when it comes to smartphones, eventually that cat is getting out of the bag. So instead of scaring you more about the dangers of social media and smartphones, because you've already heard plenty of that by now, I want to talk to you about what we can do to have a healthy tech relationship once our kids do have a phone or personal device in the home. And I know no one better to help us with that than my guest, Andrea Davis from Better Screen Time. For those of you who don't know and might live under a rock, Better Screen Time, their mission is to help families thrive in a tech-heavy world. After having her own experiences of giving a smartphone to her kid a little too soon, Andrea and her family had to do a tech reset so it didn't control their lives. And that's why Better Screen Time was created, to give parents the family-tested resources she wished she had with her family. And we are so fortunate to get to bring her on the podcast every season. Welcome to the show, friend. How are you doing?
Thanks, Nate. I'm excited to be here. I'm great.
That's good. That's good. It's like Christmas season now. Are your kids like back in like public school now? Like mm-hmm. full out? How mm-hmm. is that? Because you were homeschooling and all that, because all the COVID and residuals and all that stuff.
Yes. Well, it was, yeah, here in Oregon, they had online learning for a long time, but I feel like that it feels like that's been a while. But forever, yes, I ended up homeschooling my younger two during that time because I didn't want them on a screen. And yeah, it definitely meant some stuff at Better Screen Time kind of had to take the back seat. But boy, did I learn a lot. And I feel like it's just helped me even more. So
I bet, man. And how old are your kids now?
Yeah, so my oldest went to college this fall. Oh! So she is... Yeah, she will be 19 next month. So that's been kind of fun to see all these things that we put into practice, watching her, you know, as an adult putting these things into practice. And it's been kind of fun because she's been taking an entrepreneurship class, and the professor actually has been talking a lot about, you know, putting your phone in a different room and you're doing your homework and all these things. And she's like, Mom, I had to message you this because I already know all of this. I've been living with you. But yeah, so she is 18. And then I've got a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 9-year-old.
Oh, man. You're like almost purely tweens now. Your 9-year-old is the only not quite tween, but pretty much a tween.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, I have one last little kid. I love it.
That's awesome, man. One of my favorite things about you is you don't fearmonger over your community online, on Instagram, whatever, to get parents to keep phones out of the kids' hands. Instead, you empower parents to make decisions to provide them with tools to succeed. So before we dive into the podcast, so tell our listeners a bit about your background and how you ended up in the space. I know most folks already know, but I think it's powerful for those who haven't heard it yet.
Definitely. Well, really, this journey started a long time ago when my oldest was like two. I had a great friend who was an amazing reader. And one day I just said, Rachel, what did your parents do to instill this love of reading? And she said, oh, we didn't have a TV growing up. And I was just fascinated. I was like, really? And so I went home and talked to my husband, Tyler, and I said, what would you think if we just put the TV in the closet and we just used it like an appliance and pulled it out for like family movie night? And my husband's not really into sports. I know this wouldn't sell in every home, but he was like, totally, totally fine. And so that's what we did. And it's kind of crazy, but here we are, what, 17 years later, and that we've always done that. That wasn't necessarily part of the plan. But my point in telling that is just that really from the beginning, I have been thinking about better screen time. Like, what do I want for my kids? Well, fast forward years after that, you know, initial putting the TV in the closet, our family moved from Illinois to Oregon, where we now live. And our oldest was 12 at the time. She is super responsible. She is like the ultimate oldest child, the kind of kid that cleans her room without being asked. And we were moving to this place where we didn't know anyone. And her friends that she was leaving behind were starting to get phones. So we handed over an abandoned smartphone to her, thinking this is a communication tool. She can stay in touch with these friends she left behind in middle school, which is a hard transition.
Right.
And we can get a hold of her in this place where we don't know anyone. But really, just a few months passed, and I remember her coming home from school one day, and she sat down to have her after-school snack, her bowl of cereal, and she was spooning her cereal into her mouth with one hand, like this, and then she was doing this with the other hand, like scrolling.
Scrolling.
Yeah, and I had that moment where I was like, wait, where did my kid go? And where did that conversation that we used to have, like, how was your day? And definitely several more experiences after that that were super eye-opening. And I just turned to Tyler one day and I'm like, you know what? We've got to hit the tech reset button. This isn't, and I think it's important to also clarify, this is like 2017. So Apple, Apple screen time didn't even exist. Truly was the Wild West of smartphones.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we went back to a brick phone. That's all there was then. It was super painful, but it was one of the smartest things we ever did. And I just, at that moment, I realized that parents needed more help because I thought, if I can share this with other people to prevent this heartache and this pain of having to take a step back, or there might be parents out there that will maybe just not have that solidarity and support to make that choice. And then the trajectory for their kids will be completely changed. Right. And so that's why I do this.
Man. And so when did, what year did Better Screen Time start? Did you start doing like your Instagram and everything?
It was 2018. So it really was kind of the year after we went through all these changes. So it's been a little over 5 years ago.
That is crazy, man. 5 years and look where you are now. That's so cool. That's so cool. And you've helped thousands and thousands of families. Let's talk about once that cat is out of the bag, because there's so many families where the cat is out of the bag. And I know a lot of people really attempt to stuff the cat back in the bag, but it does not seem practical to just stuff the cat back in the bag. So if things aren't going well and we need to do a little tech reset, how can we get to a better place? How can we regulate things and get to a better place if the cat's out of the bag and we realize we're in over our head? What did you do?
Yeah. Well, I think there's so many factors to consider. One would be the age of your kids, right? Because really what I did with a 12-year-old at that time might be very different than what I would have done if she would have been 17. Right. So that is a factor to consider. Definitely age, maturity, and just like life, and just looking at that child as an individual and what type of history do they have? Like, do they have a history of anxiety or depression? Or, I mean, you work with kids, Nate, that have experienced a lot of things, you know, and as a counselor. And so thinking about those different factors, because that really should play into your decision. If you have a child who has had a lot of anxiety and depression, and let's say you feel like social media is the thing that you have just allowed way too much of, that really you're going to need to make a different decision than perhaps a child that doesn't really have any history with things like that. So that's definitely a factor.
Right.
And then looking at your relationship with your child too.
Yeah.
So I think at that point, 12 years old and this daughter, Tyler and I both, my husband and I both had a really strong and good and healthy relationship with this daughter. And that helped to make this putting the cat into the bag, as you said, much more possible. And so that's kind of what I tell parents. That's definitely the place to start. And it's not just so that you can rein back the tech, right? I mean, obviously, our purpose is to have a strong relationship with our kids. But if there is no relationship there and you're trying to take a phone away or take social media away or gaming, whatever it is, it will completely backfire, right?
Yeah, it won't go well.
And I think that's part of what parents fear. But at the same time, we have to be the parent.
Right.
And this technology is so powerful and so strong. And so I always recommend like talking to your kids about the why, talk to them about brain development, the fact that their brains are still developing, and then talk to them about persuasive design. That is the design that these technologies are using to keep us hooked and keep us connected. Mm-hmm. And I think when they start to understand that this isn't about you being a bad kid or about you not being able to handle this, the right. reality is that your development and this powerful technology are not a great combination.
No.
And so how can we scale this back? So I think treating your child with respect and starting with a conversation instead of just I'm taking the phone away.
Right. Here's what we're doing.
Yeah. Right.
I yeah. like that. Involving them in the conversation and having them kind of help come up with solutions of how you can scale things back. And mm-hmm. then you're there to kind of help prompt for stuff if they're, you know, a caveman teenager.
Yes.
But eventually that conversation will get going. And once they feel like that they can trust you, they will contribute. They'll talk and they'll mm-hmm. they'll give good feedback of what can be done to scale things back so they can be happier.
Yeah. And I just wanted to add, like, let's say it is a 17-year-old and it isn't, you're not at the point where we were with our 12-year-old where we really could just say, you know, this right. is what we feel is best. This is what we're doing. I think coming to the conversation with a couple of options that you feel like could help them, that could work, ways to scale the tech back. And then you're still kind of, you're being the parent.
Right.
Because you are saying that we need to pull back and but by providing options, you're also respecting them. You're giving them the opportunity to make some choices. Here's some things we could do.
What are some examples of things that you could do? Some options we could give them?
Yeah. So for example, let's say it's social media and your teen has all the social media accounts and you Ugh. Feel like, you know, this has just gotten out of control. Mm-hmm. I think giving them option of like picking one platform. Okay. If you could pick one platform to be on, or if you as a parent feel like there's one that really, when you notice that when they're spending time on that platform, that they seem more discouraged or down or feeling bad about themselves, then you definitely can say, you know, I really think we need to take Snapchat off the phone. What if we just have Be Real or Instagram? Or, you know, again, this is going to be totally different depending on the child. But right. I think scaling back, another option could be, I'm not saying that you can't have social media, but because of how I feel it's affecting you, or perhaps it's distracting you from doing your schoolwork or interacting with people, I feel like it might be best to put this on my phone for a while until we get to a point where, and like, let's pick a time of day when you want to get on there and check it, you know, maybe 30 minutes a day. That's a good amount of time. And so that's like another option you could present to them. And are they going to love it? No, but I feel like you are treating them with respect. They are a lot older, and this is hopefully a way to prevent them from just sneaking it. But you're still kind of scaling back and you're letting them know that, hey, you know, just right. having unfettered access to Snapchat on your phone is not helping you. And right. so we're going to scale back. So here's some options. So those are a few things.
I like that. And it's also coming from a place of like love. Like, you're not coming at your kid saying, hey, we're taking this away. But it's just taking note and saying, I've noticed how this is making you feel. And I think that we need to scale something back.
Yeah.
And here's some options. It does not sound like it's, you know, some big animosity thing, because a lot of times our youth conceive us parents of having so much animosity towards them and like always out to get them. And if we come out, if we come out guns a blazing, you know, that's how they'll perceive it. And so it's important how we frame things and how we say things from the place of love that it is, and not a place of fear. Because when fear runs the show, then they kick back, then they dig their heels in, then they hide things from us.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And it never feels good to parent from that place. And we just make different decisions when we're parenting from fear too. Mm-hmm. And it's usually not really with the long term in mind, the long game. So
no, we are upset right here and now.
Yeah.
And that is all we care about when we're parenting like that. Now, as we've been going through this digital landscape, In your opinion, what are some of the key factors to be able to have a healthy tech relationship in our home? Let's say kind of like your college girl, you know, she's 18 years old. She's got, I'm guessing she has a smartphone now. She's in college. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was living on her own. What are some ways that we can kind of instill good, healthy tech habits with, you know, our family in the home so that even when they have unfettered access to anything they want, they can still have those good, healthy habits?
Yeah. Well, again, those conversations that we have with our kids are so important. And this is why I'm not really a big fan of cell phone contracts, because quite often what happens there is it's a long list of rules and you're just requiring something of your kids, signing it. And then it's like, okay, let's move on. It's almost like, here are the rules. These are the consequences. And instead, we want to come from a place of actually teaching our kids so that they do have those habits instilled in them. And we're helping them develop that internal filter. So what I prefer, and I think works better, is, you know, creating a family tech plan together with your kids, something that everybody follows through with. And you might have different aspects of that plan that will be different depending on age or, you know, for the parents or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have that family tech plan, you're helping your kids start to develop those habits so that when they do leave home, it's like, oh yeah, this is what we've always done. Kind of like maybe taking your shoes off when you walk into the house. Okay, we put our phone in the charging station at night. And so when, you know, my daughter left to go to college, I wasn't going to send her with a huge charging station. We talked about it. I was like, do you want a box or anything to put your phone in? And I got to go with her to set everything up. And she was like, no, I think let's just over here on my desk. And again, this is totally different because she's in a dorm,
right?
And she does need to keep her phone in her bedroom for safety reasons. It's totally different because, you know, someone could steal the phone, or there's just a lot of things. And so it's the one exception for not taking the devices into the bedroom because there isn't a choice. So we kind of talked it through and said, okay, here's where your phone can go at night. And my recommendation to her was just to never take tech on her bed. So in our house, we don't take screens into the bedrooms or bathrooms.
Right.
Well, obviously she's got a laptop and her screen in her dorm room. She's got her desk right there. But I was like, if you could just have one space that's almost sacred, that's special, where you don't take tech. And also it just prevents, you're much more likely to waste time when you're sitting on a bed with a device.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like a conversation, but at the same time, I was like, obviously, like, you're an adult now and this will be up to you. But it is fascinating. You know, I went back to her and a couple of months ago and I was like, oh, I want to just test a couple of things out on Snapchat. Do you have any interest in putting that on your phone so I can practice with you just because of my job? And she was like, no. And this is so funny because I still remember a conversation at age 13 when she was begging for Snapchat. And what I did is I put it on my phone and I showed her, we did the whole thing where we looked at it together. And that's what I recommend to people. And I gave her a whole bunch of reasons why there were red flags. And she was so upset. I mean, I remember her crying and it was just like everyone was on Snapchat. Well, we avoided that completely. And I know that's not everyone's thing, but it was just so hilarious. And then at like 18, she was like, Mama's such a waste of time. I'm not putting that on my phone. And I was like, yes.
That's so awesome.
So I just think like for us as parents, yes, there's kind of some hard things, but I don't know. I talk to like adult or, you know, college age kids quite often. Like, what kind of rules did your parents have? And, you know, the kids that really didn't have a lot of boundaries or rules, I've heard that they've told me, they've said, I wish my parents would have because I wasted so much time. Like I wasted so much time playing Fortnite, or I wasted so much time. And then, and they'll look at their peers and be like, oh yeah, this kid knows how to like play the piano, or this guy is like amazing on the basketball court. And it's not that we can't be amazing at technology things as well, but there's obviously an opportunity cost there. And it's very real. So
I like what you mentioned there. If you guys are not knowing where to start, find your sacred spaces in your home, you know, your bedrooms, your bathrooms, your dinner tables, places where you have the most opportunity to A, waste time, B, behind closed doors, and then C, communicate with others. Yes. When you have a big opportunity to communicate with others, your phone shouldn't be in your hand. When you are in private and you and your kids aren't being monitored, they probably shouldn't be able to have a phone in their hands. And those are things you can also bring up when you talk about it with your family, when you make your tech plan. That's also something that I really, really love. That's, I've been on that train since I've, you know, joined this space. Really, really ironically, not ironically, convenient. I don't know the word. So summer of 2018 is when I started my Instagram page. And I hated seeing so many like tech contracts. Treating it like a business transaction.
Yes.
And like, if you do this, here is your reprimand. I'm like, is this the Victorian ages? Like, what's going on here, guys? Like, we can just talk about it as a family. And like you said, I love the tech plan so much more because a lot of times kids will come up with the majority of the plan. What do we use our tech for? What don't we use our tech for? What are places in the home we shouldn't have our tech? And you open it up to the kids, and especially if you have teens in the home, they'll let you know. They don't want it with them all the time. They want to get rid of that crutch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's so true. And I mean, if there's anyone out there listening and you're like, oh, we have a tech contract, you know, there's like nothing wrong with it necessarily. I think it's an initial step. It was an initial attempt to try to rein in the tech. I just think there's a better way to get our kids on board and to really, again, build that internal filter, because that's the goal. The only way to do that is through conversation and modeling. Right. And it just doesn't happen through a signed piece of paper.
100%. It's kind of like militant parenting works, but there's better ways to build a relationship with your kid. Yes, your kid can be well-behaved if you develop a yes sir, yes ma'am attitude with them, but there's a better way. And I mean, that's your whole mantra, right? Better screen time. Yeah. You know, not that this way doesn't work, but there's a better way. Wouldn't it be cool if we could do it and everyone's happy and they love each other and there's no resentment? That'd be really cool. And I really feel like that's definitely what you're promoting and what you're building, and what we see. And as this digital landscape has been changing the last 5 years or so since you've started, how have you seen that things have changed? Different, like, what things that parents should be aware of?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things most recently is just the introduction of AI. I mean, AI has always existed, but it really hasn't been in the hands of just regular people like you and I and our kids. Yeah. And so ChatGPT and also just a lot of the AI imaging tools and platforms, and that's something that we're seeing a lot more of. And I know you're aware of this, Nate, but just kids taking pictures of other kids, either they've gotten this somehow or they took a picture at school and then manipulating and changing those images and transforming them through AI. And unfortunately, in quite often malicious ways. So turning a kid's picture into a nude and then sharing that, you know, around school. And so obviously it used to be mortifying, and well, it still is, when nudes get sent around that are real nudes, but now we've got fake nudes getting sent around. And you just think, you know, how can we prepare our kids, number one, to not do that, right? We always hope that our kids aren't the ones doing that and sending it around, but also how do we prepare our kids if for some, you know, reason they ended up on the other end of that and were the victim. And of course that's every parent's worst nightmare. And again, that even as a business owner and a mom has changed a little bit about how I share pictures of my kids on my own platform. So people that have followed me for a long time have probably noticed that I actually share less of my kids than I used to.
Yeah.
I've always been aware that there's some risk there. I always ask my kids before I post something, and, you know, we'll share our family picture like once a year, and some, I'll share some different things on Instagram stories. I'll always ask my kids first, but you definitely see a little less of my kids than you used to. And that is part of it. My account has grown, and these type of imaging platforms are becoming more common. So I think that's just something for us as parents to think about.
Yeah,
what are we sharing? And also, how are we preparing our kids for that type of technology that's now available to everybody, really?
And if it's something that we as parents are super scared and nervous about, that's a perfect time to talk to our kids about it. Mm-hmm. Let them know, hey, I've heard of this thing. I'm not super familiar with it because I don't see it a lot. But I've seen that, you know, people are using AI to make fake nudes and stuff like that. Have you seen anything like that at the school?
Yeah.
Stuff like that? Like, well, what have you heard about it? And mm-hmm. so they can tell you their experiences or what they've heard or haven't heard about it. And you guys can help prepare each other.
You know? Yes. That's exactly what I recommend, because I think parents can spend so much time trying to research all the latest apps, all these things. And like, there is no way for anyone to stay on top of it. Even me, I spend a lot of time in this space, but you don't need to. You just need to have that relationship with your kids and have those conversations with them. They will. And if you have that relationship's there, they will tell you.
Yeah. Everything else will fall into place. If you just have, if you have that relationship with your child, you're still the parent. You're not their best friend that they can get away with murder or nothing.
Yeah.
But you have a good relationship with your kid that they can talk to you and that you guys can find solutions together. And that's where you're going to find success.
Yeah. And I even have kids that are quite private and they're not just sharing tons of stuff. I know sometimes parents get worried, like, well, my kids don't really tell me a lot. Well, I have a few kids like that too. And I just want to, you know, whoever's listening, I just want you to know that that doesn't need to affect your relationship. They don't need to open up to you about every single thing for you to have a really solid relationship with them.
Right.
And there are things that our kids may choose to keep private, but we just keep the conversation going. And eventually, if it's something that's affecting them, it will surface.
You don't need to force your introverts to be extroverts or anything like that. You can find ways to connect with even your shyest kids, I promise. Mm-hmm. And in those moments of connection is when they might open up to you about something.
Totally.
But it's important that you find those ways to connect and be there and available when the opportunity is there for them to open up. If you're not there, they're not going to open. So
Yeah, you nailed it. Totally.
Look, I did something, guys. Man, biggest compliment ever. Just kidding. well, this has been so great. Thanks for all you do. Talking to you is always such a treat. How can people see what you're up to and what's going on in your life? Shameless plug time. Let's hear it.
Yes. So you can find us at betterscreentime.com. Our latest thing is we created something called the Tech Healthy Family Hub.
Ooh.
So we've had online courses for years now and helped thousands of parents, which is awesome. And those courses still exist. Parents can still get those. We have Creating a Tech Healthy Family and Untangling Teens in Tech. But what we've done is we put those courses inside of a platform where we also are delivering a lot of live training. So I'm doing like a monthly masterclass, and my husband is a software engineer. So he comes on and does some, it's called Tech Time with Tyler. And we provide like some experts coming in here and there, but also the opportunity for parents to learn from each other, which is something that I know there's a lot of free Facebook groups, but I really wanted a place where perhaps parents that kind of want to take the slow tech road could come together. And so that is our Tech Healthy Family Hub. So we just launched that in November, just last month. That we already have a good amount of parents in there interacting and learning. And so that's fun. And of course, you can find us on Instagram, ironically, at Better Screen Time too.
Yep. Yeah. And all that will be in the podcast description. So you guys can go check them out. They are doing wonderful things over at Better Screen Time. It's just always so fun to see what's going on there. So anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. If you'd like Save the Kids to come speak to your church, community, school event, whatever it might be, please fill out a speaker form linked in the podcast description. Hope you all have a wonderful day. And always remember, you are wonderful, you are worthy, and you are worth it. Go home and give your kids an 8-second hug, and we'll see you on the next one.